Matthew chapter 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, observe and do that, but do not do according to their works. So do what they say, not what they do, because they're hypocrites. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Oh, just doesn't this sound just like politicians? "But they do all their works to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." So I think the phylacteries is, like written scriptures hanging from their forehead, something like that. "And then enlarge the borders of their garments." So they're basically making a spectacle of themselves. Hey, look at me. Look how pious and righteous I am. And they're not. They're just filthy, disgusting sinners. "And love the best places at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Oh, this sounds so familiar. Nothing has changed, has it? People don't change. "But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brothers. And do not call any man on the earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven." Okay, now obviously he's not talking about your physical, biological father. It's okay to call him father. He's talking about in a religious sense. Now, who does that sound like? Let's see. The Pope? Papa? Father? Reverends who want to be called father? This is not scriptural at all. The whole clergy-laity structure of the Catholic Church, completely unscriptural. There is no papacy. Nothing in scripture about papacy. We are the same. We are equals in the Lord's church. Now, people do have different roles in the church. You've got elders and you've got deacons. And then men and women have different roles in the church. But as far as rankings, like clergy and laity, that is so foreign to the Lord's church and completely, completely wrong. "Do not be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." I mean, how many times, how many parables has Jesus been talking about recently about humbling yourselves, about serving others, about how there's no rankings in the church, that we're all equal in the church? He's stressing this over and over and over again. Now we're going to go into the eight woes. Verse 13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." So these scribes and Pharisees, these religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders, they have no interest at all in becoming a member of the Lord's church that's to come. And they don't want anybody else going in either. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a false show make long prayers. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation." So, basically just living hypocritical lives. You know, they're liars and they're thieves, but they pretend like they're so pious and righteous. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel around sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Why? Because they are trying to put doctrines and traditions and requirements on people, religious ones, that are not found in God's word at all. So basically, they're converting someone to their false religion, which is not helping that person at all. It makes them just as lost as they were before. Woe to you blind eyes who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is guilty. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Now, honestly, this particular woe, not entirely sure what he's talking about. If anyone has any ideas on that, let me know. I do know that he is getting onto them. He's rebuking them because they're swearing on things that they ought not to be swearing on. But I don't exactly understand this little section, so help me out, anybody. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So the Pharisees and the scribes were real big on ceremonial things, you know, washing the cups, washing their hands, all this ceremonial stuff. But it doesn't really mean anything when there's no depth to it, you know. They don't care anything about faith or judgment or mercy. These you ought to have done and not leave the others undone. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. They're so busy with all the little ceremonial details that they completely miss the big picture. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make the outside of the cup and of the platter clean, but inside they are full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisee, first clean what is inside the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You know, sometimes we describe people as, oh, they're so beautiful on the inside and the outside. Or vice versa. They're beautiful on the outside, but ugly on the inside. Or maybe they're not so attractive on the outside, but beautiful on the inside. Well, Jesus is pointing out they're okay on the outside, but inside they are just nasty. And we need to be both. We need to be, we don't have to be beautiful on the outside. Our actions on the outside have to be beautiful, as well as our heart, our intentions on the inside. What do you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? For you are similar to whitewashed sepulchres, and indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We wouldn't have killed the prophets in the Old Testament. We wouldn't have done that. Well, therefore, you are witnesses to yourselves that you are the children of those who killed the prophets. In other words, you're no different. Fill up, then, the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Therefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things shall come on this generation. So he's saying you are no different than those in the Old Testament who killed the prophets. You're just the same. As a matter of fact, I prophesy that you're going to do this. You're going to kill more of my prophets and more of my followers. You're no different. you're murderers too.
Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing, and you would not. So despite how wicked these Pharisees and scribes and elders and even all the people who are rejecting him, he still loves them. He wants them to be saved. He wants to gather them like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wing. But they refused. They rejected him. And the one thing that God and Christ are not going to do is force someone to believe and obey. They are not going to take away your free will. If you want to believe and obey, that's up to you. If you reject him, that's up to you. Jesus and God are not going to interfere with our free will. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall not see me from now on until you should say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, kind of a not a real uplifting, positive chapter, but definitely sometimes people need to be rebuked. We all need to be rebuked if we're doing something wrong. And he's definitely rebuking the Pharisees and scribes in this chapter. You know, people always want to picture Jesus as just being this soft-spoken, very meek, very weak, emaciated pansy, really. Oh, no, I don't think so. Just read this chapter again. 8 woes. Woe to you, Pharisees, hypocrites. Sometimes that's what it takes. And that is chapter 23.